From idea to reality, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping our customers transform vast amounts of data into actionable intelligence. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear on the intelligence community's critical missions through our data analytics, all-source analysis, linguistics, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, the important work never stops. Visit leidos.com/intel to learn how.
Welcome to Intelligence Community Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos.
A series of new policies designed to overhaul the security clearance, suitability, and credentialing system is sitting on the president's desk or nearby, waiting for his signature. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence has been busy preparing these new policies. Just don't ask the ODNI when exactly the White House is going to take action on them. Brian Dunbar is the Assistant Director of Security for ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center. He tells Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco how exactly a new national security memo will pave the way.
It's based on what we call the 135 model. The one is personnel vetting model aligned for mobility. Establishment of one personnel vetting model that aligns the security, suitability, and credentialing vetting, because traditionally the national security vetting and the suitability and credentialing vetting had been rather stovepiped. So this new model basically aligns those two, what had been kind of disparate vetting activities, into one. We're establishing a streamlined policy framework of executive issuances, guidelines, and standards. I'm going to talk as we go along here, because I know you're very interested in what those key policy pieces are. But what they are is a national security presidential memorandum from POTUS that directs the change and mandates the shift to continuous vetting. That will be followed by an executive correspondence which outlines the immediate measures to move into the future from the traditional model that we're in today. And then finally, a core vetting doctrine that it's basically enduring and foundation principles for vetting going forward.
And what about the three part, I guess, of this model?
The three part is three investigative tiers, which are designed for mission speed. We're reducing the number of background investigation tiers down from the existing five to three. Tier one will be low-risk public trust type cases. Tier two, moderate-risk public trust and secret clearance cases. And tier three, high-risk public trust and top secret cases. Along with that, the rejuggling of the tiers, we're establishing a risk-based model that leverages modern information technology. And that's a key to all of this, obviously, is the information technology, particularly right now, what we have going in terms of continuous evaluation. What this will do is speed up the process, reduce the complexity that exists with the current five investigative tiers, eliminate repetitive checks that exist in the system now, and enable us to use the resources better.
And can you detail for us the number five piece? I think it's five vetting scenarios, what they are and how you think they'll make a difference in the future here.
So these scenarios, again, are focused on specific mission needs rather than a one-size-fits-all approach, which is what we have had in the traditional model, if you will. The first vetting scenario is initial vetting, which basically will be turning outsiders into insiders and establishing an initial baseline of trust for the individual going forward. Then the second vetting scenario, and I think I would highlight this one as one of the very momentous changes, if you will, in this approach, is the second vetting scenario is continuous vetting. So continuous vetting will replace the periodic reinvestigation model as the new way to maintain trust. Continuous vetting basically consists of automated records checks, agency-specific checks, and that, for example, would be things like internal OIG records or something like that that exist, and then time or event-driven field work as necessary.
In that explanation, I was especially curious about the word change. I mean, why shift from using the term evaluation to vetting?
Continuous evaluation is the concept that has existed in the old model. It was originally designed and intended to enable us to mitigate the risk between, you know, 5 or 10 year periodic reinvestigations. And it was intended originally to be another investigative tool in the toolbox, if you will. We morphed from that type of thinking during this exercise to actually moving to replace periodic reinvestigations with what we call continuous vetting. So continuous vetting, I like to refer to that as continuous evaluation plus, because as you know, continuous evaluation is basically very well established in policy. It's the use of 7 data categories to perform automated records checks on individuals, and it's providing automated flagging and alerts to departments or agencies. And as you know, OD&I has built a continuous evaluation IT system here, which is available for any department or agency in the executive branch to utilize. And we're covering down on all 7 of those required data categories and pushing out automated flags and alerts to enrolled departments or agencies. It's a bi-directional system, which means it has, you know, both high-side and low-side capabilities, because we need the capability to utilize the low-side, for example, with non-Title 50 organizations who may not have the high-side connectivity which exists within the IC, for example. So we have that in there. And the other CE system that's out there is the one that the Department of Defense has. They have a really good system, too. They're covering down on a lot of the data categories with some extra internal checks that they have added as well. And they are utilizing our system. We feel like we're going in the right direction here, because it's frankly just good government for them to utilize and exercise the ability to tap into our system and get the checks that they don't currently have through us, you know, rather than develop their own capabilities for doing them. So we deliberately started using the term continuous vetting, because what that future state continuous vetting really means is it's continuous evaluation plus some additional things. And those would be like internal records, which are available at each department or agency. And a good example of those that I would give you again is like records that exist within the Office of Inspector General at a department or agency, or they could be records that exist within an insider threat element at a department or agency. So CV is the 7 CE data category checks plus these internal records checks, which are available internally at departments or agencies, plus time specified checks, which are basically like you run a certain law enforcement check every 3 years or every 5 years or something like that.
Brian Dunbar, Assistant Director of Security for ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center, speaking with Federal News Network's Nicole Grisco. I'm Tom Temin.
From idea to reality, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping our customers transform vast amounts of data into actionable intelligence. Leidos is number 1 on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear on the intelligence community's critical missions through our data analytics, all-source analysis, linguistics, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, the important work never stops. Visit leidos.com/intel to learn how.
We continue our interview with Brian Dunbar, Assistant Director of Security for the Office of the Director of National Intelligence's National Counterintelligence and Security Center, speaking with Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco.
It seems like continuous evaluation, or more like continuous vetting, that's really the key to how you want to move forward and modernize. So how will that translate to some of the new policies that you're planning?
As we move towards the ultimate 2.0, if you will, is provide departments or agencies that have existing continuous vetting CV capabilities to move away from conducting periodic reinvestigation. So a big thing in this, in our process here, it will be contained within the executive correspondence that we will soon be issuing, is the way forward for departments or agencies to cease conducting periodic reinvestigations and instead begin utilizing continuous vetting capabilities that exist for them.
So just to clarify real quick, there will be some sort of executive correspondence that says, all right, we're no longer doing periodic reinvestigations. We are now officially moving to this continuous evaluation, continuous vetting capability, right?
Yes. So the way these policy, I call them the top three policy issuances. These are the three things which are going to come out of the box next in the trusted workforce environment are that national security presidential memorandum. What that does is just gives direction to the executive agents, which in this case are the DNI and OPM, to move forward and do this stuff, basically. So it's just an endorsement on the part of POTUS that this is needed and directing us to do it, right? So that, to my understanding, is at the White House now, available for the president's signature, and I understand that his signature and issuance of that NSPM is imminent. That'll be followed by this executive correspondence, which is exactly what you just mentioned there. It'll be from the executive agents, and it will provide departments and agencies authority to adopt an interim vetting process, replace PRs, and continue to apply investigative reduction measures which were approved in prior ECs, right? So that was the June 2018 executive correspondence I mentioned, put in place all these mitigations for an investigative activity. And they were deliberately at that time, we indicated that those were interim measures to be utilized until we got the backlog eliminated. It will make permanent a number of these interim measures that we put into place and also describe to departments and agencies how they move from conducting PRs into this continuous vetting process. There are going to be departments or agencies that are out there that already have fairly robust continuous vetting programs. Those would be, for example, IC organizations. I think the Department of Defense is in a good place vis-a-vis that. There are other departments or agencies that aren't there yet in terms of that, and they will need to continue to conduct investigations until such time as they're ready from a continuous vetting capability. But if you get the Department of Defense and the intelligence community away from doing the PRs, of course, you're talking about the 90% solution there for the cleared population. These three policy issuances will come out in very short order systemically. So the NSPM followed by the executive correspondence, and then the third one that comes out is what we're calling the Federal Core Vetting Doctrine, and it just codifies the president's direction to the executive agents to develop a doctrine describing our core principles that guide government-wide vetting policy and practices.
Now, you mentioned briefly before that there would be five vetting scenarios. Can you touch on some of the others that we haven't heard as much about yet?
There's three other vetting scenarios beyond the initial and continuous, and one of them is upgrades, and that's just adjusting the level of vetting commensurate with a move to a higher risk level position. For example, if someone currently held a secret clearance and they were seeking to move to a top secret, that would be the upgrade scenario. Then we have a transfer of trust scenario. That's basically what people refer to as reciprocity now, moving an individual from one agency to another. And then we have a reestablishment of trust scenario, and that's following a break in service. Let's just say someone has been out of cleared access for a three-year period. What the reestablishment of trust scenario will enable us to do is bring them back into the cleared trusted population in relatively short order. And that's a big deal out there in terms of the executive branch mobility, you know, because right now as it exists in the policy, if you're out of national security clearance access for 24 months, basically you come back in and you get vetted all over again, you know, extensive vetting all over again. We want to change that. We want it to be much more nimble and not repetitive vetting, because we feel like people who have been in the trusted family, if you will, for a detailed amount of time and have a good record of service and trustworthiness in that environment. We shouldn't have to run extensive checks on that person in order to reaccess them in the cleared population.
So to jump into those five vetting scenarios, what do you all need to do to get those up and running? Is that another policy directive, or can agencies just start implementing that essentially?
Yeah. What will come out after these three, you know, writ large policy issuances, if you will, are a new set of investigative standards and a new set of adjudicative guidelines. Just kind of peeking behind the curtain here, I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of huge transformation in terms of the adjudicative guidelines, but the investigative standards will be significantly different from what they look like today. What we will be doing is issuing these new guidelines, these new standards. They're under work right now because as all this work has been going on the top three policy issuances, kind of behind the scenes, if you will, have been subject matter experts from throughout the government working on these new standards and guidelines. So those will come out next year. Those will be providing the guidance and the policy, if you will, on how you do this activity in the future. Everyone's going to be working off the same sheet of music, if you will, and doing them the same way. So that's what's going to happen in regard to those. And then we're going to deliberately engage in a lot of wholesale training, if you will, because this is such a massive cultural change that we're going to have to, from an enterprise standpoint, do a lot of, I won't call it retraining, but, you know, training on how you apply these new standards, these new guidelines in the future. So it's like a crawl, walk, run approach, if you will. The crawl piece of it was, you know, issuing that June 2018 executive correspondence, which had these interim mitigations for background investigations. The walk part of it is issuing this policy and guidance to departments and agencies, telling them exactly how they move from PRs to continuous vetting approach. And then the run piece is, you know, the full implementation of the 2.0, which is downstream from now.
That's Brian Dunbar, the Assistant Director of Security for ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center, speaking with Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco. The rest of the interview after one more quick break. I'm Tom Temin.
From idea to reality, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping our customers transform vast amounts of data into actionable intelligence. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear on the intelligence community's critical missions through our data analytics, all-source analysis, linguistics, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, the important work never stops. Visit leidos.com/intel to learn how.
The Office of the Director of National Intelligence back in 2016 gave agencies the go-ahead to collect, use, and keep publicly available social media information to keep tabs on their employees. Now, that decision was highly anticipated in the intelligence community, but few agencies are actually checking social media as part of their standard vetting procedures. Brian Dunbar is the Assistant Director of Security for ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center. He tells Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco how and why social media will play a role for some who want security clearances in the future.
I wouldn't use the word reluctance, but I think because there have been a number of pilots on this, on the use of social media and national security vetting, and it's been kind of a mixed bag, if you will. What I mean is, depending on the period in life, I guess I'd say, in which the individual currently resides, and their and whether they're prodigious users of social media, that is the dependency on whether you actually get much take from it or not. For example, somebody like me, you know, old guy, I'm not active on social media. And if you ran social media checks on me, you wouldn't get anything, right? And the opposite side of the coin is, let's just say, and an E3 in the Department of Defense who has grown up using social media extensively and continues to use it, you might get and could get some pretty useful information in terms of reviewing their social media. What we're going to do in this new approach, as you just mentioned, is require mandatory social media checks for the highest tier, what we're calling tier three in the new approach, the top secret population here. And again, I just need to caveat that there are a whole lot of limitations on the extent to which the federal government is able to delve into someone's personal account. So we do think that's the right thing to do, though. It seems every time there is a workplace violence situation or a school shooting, or you name it, if you go back and there have typically been indicators in the person's social media history that might have enabled some intervention to take place. So we feel like it's a good thing to do, and it seems pretty self-evident to us that it needs to be done. There's a cost associated with it as well, so we need to be cognizant of that as well. So what we've done is we're making it mandatory for that top tier, and we're making it on an dependent or as needed basis for lower tiers, meaning if you're running an investigation and you had some information which suggests to you that it would be a useful lead to delve into the social media history there, you would be able to do that. It just wouldn't be, mandatory or required.
Do you all think it's going to be a heavy lift to implement those social media checks, or is it because you're only really requiring it for that top level tier, maybe it won't be as much of an impact on agencies to really do that?
There are economies of scale there, so it will be less of a heavy lift doing it in this way. However, like I said, there is a decent expense involved with obtaining these checks. Like right now, there are companies out there that can perform this service, and depending on the level of granularity you want and depending on whether you want those companies to actually utilize a lot of AI in terms of combing through this stuff, or whether you want them to just give you raw take, if you will, that can affect the pricing as well. So I think, though, as you said, that having it just directed on a mandatory and required basis against the top tier here will help us in terms of the resource requirements.
Brian Dunbar is the Assistant Director of Security for the ODNI's National Counterintelligence and Security Center. He was speaking with Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco. If you missed any part of the interview, find it online. Head to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Intelligence Community Agency in Focus, sponsored by Leidos on Federal News Radio, a part of the Federal News Network.
From idea to reality, innovation is at the heart of mission success. At Leidos, we're helping our customers transform vast amounts of data into actionable intelligence. Leidos is number one on the Washington Technology Top 100, bringing unrivaled talent to bear on the intelligence community's critical missions through our data analytics, all-source analysis, linguistics, agile and SecDevOps, and advanced AI/ML that allows you to see the full picture faster. At Leidos, the important work never stops. Visit leidos.com/intel to learn how.